Network proudly presents The Jay's Blade Show with your host, CyberGolf.com's own Jay Clemmer, and co-starring a galaxy of the golf and sports world's greatest names as a special guest. Yo, 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 this is your main man, DJ Q, telling you to put your hands together for your friend and mine, Jay Clemmer.
All right. Thank you, DJ Q, for starting us off in style. He is absolutely right. I am Jay Flama, and you are listening to Jay's Plays on the Golf News Net Radio Network. Jay's Plays is brought to you by JB's Best Hot Sauce. It's the spiciest. It's the boldest. It's the most amazing hot sauce out there on the market. It's on every table in the Deep South, and it can be on yours. When it says JB's, it's the best. All right, everybody, we've turned back away from the Open Championship and towards the PGA Championship, the final major of the season. So we'll be handicapping the players, and we'll be talking about Quail Hollow in the third and fourth segments of the shows. But first, we're going to bring back an old friend, because it's the perfect time between the Open Championship and the PGA Championship for the writers to get together and play against each other. It was the 10th annual Ryder Cup between the golf writers of New York City and Philadelphia, held once again at the magnificent Fours Gate Country Club. And so we have with us as our guest, once again, he's back to talk about not just Fours Gate, but all of the other terrific things he's doing. Please welcome magnate Chris Schiavone back to the show. Chris, welcome to Jay's Plays again.
Jay, always good to talk to you.
Well, it was an absolutely majestic day last Thursday. All of the golf writers say thank you so much for the hospitality of the club, but the game thanks you also. The resurrection and resurgence of Fours Gate is one of the great stories in golf. For those who aren't familiar with it, take us through the history of your learning about the course, your becoming involved in the ownership of the course, and the restoration of the club.
Well, I knew about the course since the 80s, first time I played it. I didn't have an opportunity to acquire the course until the 90s, and always thought that it was a really unique track. The Banks course is, in my opinion, unlike really any other course in the state of New Jersey, even though there are other Charles Banks courses. I think there's a standout element to the Fours Gate Banks course and some of the drama that, as you well know and talk about, exists in the greens and the bunkering and so on. But when we acquired the course originally in 97 and fully controlled it in 99, so it's 18 years ago now, we've worked to improve things over time, and not just the golf course, but obviously the whole club experience for the membership. You know, that you talked about that 17th green, that amazing Biarritz green. When we bought the club, only one third of that green was being used, and the rest was fairway. And we looked at it. We brought Stephen Kay, the architect, in. You know, that's an amazing 18,000 square foot green now with that 6 foot swale in the middle of it. That's the way it was designed by Charles Banks. That's the way you see similar greens in Europe, where they originally developed this idea of the Biarritz green. And, you know, those kinds of things were important to bring back some of the original design elements of what Charles Banks had done. And it's in the tradition of, you know, Seth Rayner and C.B. McDonald, that he has not just the Biarritz hole, but the Redan hole and so on. You know, you can speak of these things better than I can, but the fact is that, you know, bringing these things back to something closer to their original look was really important to us, and I think it's had a really positive benefit for the membership and for people to come and play the course. And if you look at, Jay, if you look at the Banks course and the membership value you get there compared to any of these other clubs that are ranked at the top of the list in the Met Golf area, we think we're the best value there is.
Without question. Okay, as you look at the price ranges for various private clubs between New York City and Philadelphia, no better bang for your buck than not just a McDonald Rayner Banks course, but the last in the bloodline, the swan song in America, the final one that Charles Banks did, you know, for it to be affordable for a family, not just for one player, but for a family to come down. That is an enormous gift to the game. You know, when people say golf is dying, all they have to do is to take one day down to Forest Gate and check it out to see if they might want to become a member. And they'll have their faith restored. Whatever it is you guys are doing, you're doing it right. Now, let's talk a little more about the architecture as well. You brought up so many great points, but one thing I've learned in 10 years of playing at Forest Gate is every single time you go there, you learn something new, you see something else. You start with those complex greens that have so many curves, so many thumbprints, so many angles. People usually start, when they begin their discussion of the course, they begin with the greens, don't they, Chris?
Absolutely. And, you know, they're large greens, so when people talk about the fact that there are only 3 out of 18 greens that don't either have a bowl in it or a terrace or a elephant burial ground in it, there are only 3 out of 18 that are relatively flat, tame greens, but they're large enough so that you still have all kinds of areas where you can place pins and not have anything that's unfair or unreasonable. You have the ability to get the ball close to the hole or in the hole. So, again, that's a tribute to Charles Banks' design ability. You have the drama in the greens. It's really a lot of fun, but it doesn't do it in a way where you can't have good pinability on these greens. So, you know, obviously you have the 18,000-square-foot green that's the 17th, but the fifth hole has a 10,000-plus-square-foot green, and the average green is probably 7,000 square feet. So, you know, they're very large, and obviously they're well guarded by some of the biggest bunkers you'll see in the state too.
Sure. Now, the thing about the greens, even the 3 that you consider to be flat have a tilt to them. So there are still going to be breaks that you have to read. And one of the great testaments to the club is what a phenomenal job Superintendent Donna Sinski has been doing, because they roll so immaculately true. You read the break that you see, you play it, and the ball will go in. You got to trust your line, but they're absolutely pure. So we definitely have to mention Don's name, because he's done a marvelous job there along with Stephen Cave. Now, you bring up the second point, that people are so impressed with the greens that they always have to remember to stay away from some of those bunkers. At Forest Gate, at the Banks course, there's a right side and there's doom. And when I say doom, we're talking about bunkers 10, 15, 20, even 25 feet deep, some of the deepest bunkers in American golf, but also, without question, some of the most fun bunkers in American golf. They're tougher because they've got those sod faces and the ball's going to come back to your feet. But I have to say, I take a certain perverse delight in bringing my friends there and watching them flail in some of those bunkers. What do you think are the most dangerous bunkers on the golf course?
Well, I would tell you, I would think that the bunker on the right, on number 3, is, you know, that's one of those 20-foot-plus bunkers, and that green is difficult enough to begin with, but trying to get out of that bunker, especially if the pin's on the wrong side, very difficult. The bunker on number 8 on the left side, the greenside bunker on number 8, is a monster. There's a story that a lot of people say is true, that Ben Hogan went out sideways out of that bunker. The bunker on the right side, greenside bunker on 18, frankly either side of 18, but certainly on the right side. Again, one of those 20-footers. So you've got trouble. I'll tell you, one of the less dramatic greens is 14, but if you're in the left side bunker trying to get that near the hole with the pitch of the green being from left to right, very difficult also. So a lot of bunkers worth avoiding. Number 11 is another one with, you know, very deep bunker, especially on the right side.
Sure. Now, the first one you mentioned right out of the gate, Shell Bunker, the one on the right on the par 3 third. Everybody, now when you begin, when you continue the discussion about Forest Gate, you have to talk about the par 3. They are all textbook examples of that particular template, and each of these, because they're so much bigger in landform, bolder in contour, and longer, so more difficult, they're all museum pieces. The Eden Hole in particular, number 3, I love to tell the story about the friend of mine that I brought there, and we stood on the tee, and of course the green has the hog's back in it, so it's two little greens in one. It's all carry up there. It's like trying to hit the ball to one of those Roger Dean paintings on the cover of a Yes album. You know those little landforms that are floating in midair? That's what it's like.
Right, right.
And I said to my friend, whatever you do, don't hit it in Shell Bunker. So we each hit goofy slices short of Shell Bunker. I pitched on, luckily. He hits his over Shell Bunker into the Eden Bunker behind. Hits the next one right back where he started. Hits the next one over the Shell Bunker, over the green, over the Eden Bunker, over the trees and halfway down the fourth fairway. Hit the next one in the Eden Bunker. Picked it up, dropped it on the green on the wrong side of the hump and three-putted for a 10. And as we're walking off, I said, well, at least you didn't hit in his Shell Bunker. I got a dirty look, and he snarled at me, don't push it, Jay. And another one that I like to try to avoid, on 9, the greenside bunker on the left, the sea of tranquility, because when you look at it from afar, it's like a crater on the moon. I deliberately was 80 yards down the fairway, and I putted it up to the neck and then putted it onto the green. My playing partner looked at me and said, what you do that for? And I said to him, I said, you take one look at that bunker. You think I want to mess with that? I don't want any part of that bunker. But that's part of the fun of Forest Gate. You know you're in for a battle all 18 holes, and you're going to get a great story of success. You know, maybe a terrific Sandy or maybe a fantastic iron shot over one of them. And you know that you're going to have to run the risk of possibly taking a big number if you get stuck in the wrong place. You know, but the course plays differently every single time you tee it up.
It does, and that's one of the great things about those greens, too. You can do so much with pin placements that have such an impact on the way it feels to play the course. You know, you can have a set of pin placements on a busy Saturday morning where you want to move people around, and you can have another set of pin placements where you're having a tournament that, you know, can make many many shots difference in the average score of the player. So those greens have a lot of versatility in terms of how you want to set the course up.
Yes. Now, that brings up an interesting point. When we were sitting around chatting, someone had mentioned to you they thought the pin placements were particularly hard. And I thought long and hard about that. And I don't necessarily agree, but I will say that they were, for once, different than we ordinarily see at the Ryder Cup. It was refreshing to see, for once, the pin wasn't in the bowl on number 12, it was over on the side of the horseshoe. Or on number 17, instead of being in the bowl. What a pin placement, Chris, okay? That was genius. They had it far left, far back, bringing into play a mound that I didn't even know existed until I saw that pin placement. Okay, so not only, but we all ended up in the swale, too. 4 balls in the swale. So we had to really give it a good wrap up the swale and then over that second mound as well. And I just lost a little bit of steam coming up it and left myself 8 feet short. And so I couldn't make my par from out of the swale. But it was still a fun pin placement. The pin placement on 9. Flush left behind the Sea of Tranquility. Yes, difficult, but for those that wanted to try it, what a thrilling shot that's got to be. You know, and again, the value in coming to a club like Forest Gate that a family can afford to play not only Charles Banks design, but the last, the one that he knew was going to be his final course, so he made the bunkers that much deeper, the greens that much more curvaceous, the landforms that much larger. It's a magnificent design that everybody needs to see. So on behalf of the Golf Writers, thank you, and on behalf of golf, thank you. Now, I want to shift the discussion to an area we have never talked about on the show before, the food. People talk about National Golf Links of America's got their half of the lobster and their cup of crab bisque. You got the burger dog at Olympic Club. And at Pine Valley, you've got their version of bisque that has sherry in it. But I've traveled far and wide, and you can throw in there Wingfoot and Garden City, but I have to say the food at Forest Gate stands at the very top of that mountain along with all of those clubs. So tell us a little bit about the chef and a little bit about, who chooses the menu and what the club can look forward to in the future.
Well, thanks for mentioning the food. The chef is Paul Voigt, really good guy, hardworking guy, loves Forest Gate, and has a good team there. You know, the Ryder Cup, 10 years, and we started that tradition year one with the steak and lobster dinner, and we set it all up on the grills outside on the terrace there, and that's really become, I don't know, I think you probably still would take the golf over the steak and lobster dinner, but I think half of your compatriots would probably pick the food if they had to choose one or the other, as great as the golf is, in my humble opinion.
Only because they got to post their scores for everyone to see.
And by the way, congratulations. I believe that your score pretty much led the field for your team.
Chris, thank you for that. I do have to throw a nod to Bernie Hersig. He's been a coach of mine since 1994. And I was in dire, desperate straits earlier this year. I was swinging like a 27, 28 handicap. I mean, you know, this is what happens when you become a golf writer. You lose your practice time. You know, instead of working on your irons, working on your woods, working on your putting, working on your pitching and your chipping, you know, you're pacing off the yardages, you're meeting the superintendent, you're reading the literature. Oh, it's my turn to hit. And, you know, your game goes to hell. There's a saying, you play like a golf writer. And so I went to go see Bernie. And for everyone out there, the staff at Forest Gate's out of this world, too. They'll straighten you right out as well. But he got me swinging differently. And I went out 2 days after my lesson with him and probably lost 9 golf balls. And so he said, at least you didn't lose 10. But I kept at it. I went to the range every single day and hit at least one bucket, if not two. And, you know, there's just a weight that lifts when you park your car at Forest Gate. You know, the weight of the world disappears. It's solace amidst the traffic of the world. And you just swing a little freer when you're out there. It's like a magic elixir golf. Really great golf courses have a transportive effect. Where, you know, if you were to airdrop somebody into the middle of the course at Forest Gate, they would think they were in Middle England, okay, not in the Garden State. But I want to throw a bone to Bernie Hersig for straightening me out. I will say this, Chris, I loved, and everybody else loved, the online leaderboard that you could check on your phone.
Right.
You know, that was great to be able to keep track of where you were. But the funny part about it was on the 10th hole, I said to myself, gee, I haven't hit this button yet. No, there's a leaderboard, and I see my name at the top of it and probably double bogey tag. Now I understand where the program is coming from when they see their name on a leaderboard. It was definitely a nerve-wracking experience. The rest of the round was a grind.
Well, whatever you did to grind it out, though, I think you still ended up at the top of the leaderboard. On the net board anyway for the team that you were playing for.
Finally, for once, it was nice to be able. I think once every 5 years my score contributes. But you know what? No matter what you shoot, it's how much fun you have. Now let's switch gears for a second. We know the wonderful things you've done at Forest Gate. Tell us a little bit about what's happening with Shaq and Maxson, and then what other projects that you're working on.
Well, you're nice to mention Shaq and Maxson. As you know, we acquired that course 6 years ago. It's A.W. Tillinghast's design, has one of the only island greens he ever built. It was in tough shape financially. It had a declining membership. It had a great reputation in the past that was being eroded by the fact that they didn't have enough money to put into the club. They had too much debt, so on. And they were raising the dues every year to make up the difference. And because of that, they had fewer and fewer members every year. So they were in this membership death spiral that we've seen in golf at a number of places since the industry has had its difficult time post 9/11. It has been in a tough period, and a lot of it has to do with the fact that the overall number of people playing this fantastic game has actually declined. We, on a side note, we all, and that's why the golf writers are so important, we've got to do as best a job as possible to remind people that you do not have to commit to 4.5 and 5 hours to go out, enjoy the game of golf. It is that great escape, as you described. I have never done anything in my life that has the ability to distract me from the worries of the world like a round of golf can. And whether you play 9 holes or 18 or anything in between, the reality is it's really worth doing. I remember when President George W. Bush, after 9/11, gave up golf, and I said, as important as your job is as president, that's a mistake. He should be playing golf every so often, because the more stressful your job is, the more you need the ability to escape from it every so often, and there's nothing like golf to do that. At Chacamaxon, we were able to come in, Jay, and we were able to lower the cost of membership, revitalize the membership base of the club, make improvements to the golf course and to other amenities at the facility, and now it's a thriving country club in Union County, New Jersey, and we're thrilled that we're part of it. We're thrilled that we have the ability to be the stewards of this Tillinghast golf course. There aren't a lot of Tillinghast golf courses that are owned for profit, and we're very fortunate to be a group that can say that, and hopefully it continues this way for a long time to come.
Now, you did make some wonderful improvements to the golf course. In particular, you took what was once one of the weak points of the golf course and made it one of the attractions, a reproduction of a Tillinghast reef hole done by Stephen Kay.
Yes. And the reason that we did that, part of the resurrection of Chacamaxon, if you will, was to get an approval from the town to do some things we needed to do. And they were willing to grant that in part because we had to change the entrance road to the club, which actually is much better entrance now. But it required us to adjust one of the golf holes. And one of the things that was very important to us was that we did as little as possible to undermine the integrity of the Tillinghast design. So we brought Stephen Kay in, who's a great architect, and you've had him on your program, and I've known him for many, many years, and he's a historian when it comes to architects. He was involved with actually the design of the Architects Golf Club up in New Jersey, up in Sussex County, New Jersey, where they have a golf hole representing the design features of eight. He's very the history of and the specific design elements of different architects. And we said, what can we do here that maintains the Tillinghast look and feel? And he said, Tillinghast wrote about and drew this reef hole many times. This was a very important one of his design ideas. And so we designed a reef hole almost exactly as he had drawn it. Tillinghast had drawn it 100 years ago. And we actually brought the head of the Tillinghast Society in to give his imprimatur on the whole thing, and came out as a great golf hole. It's right near the entrance drive of the club, and to me, it's been a huge benefit to have this really nice downhill par 3 right near the clubhouse. That it's actually one of the signature holes now, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely a draw, and it's fascinating architecture as well. I think that Tillinghast would have been very proud of the job that Stephen Kay did in faithfully reproducing it. Now, what else are you working on as well, besides keeping Chacamaxon and Forestgate in such phenomenal shape, and keeping the membership as lively and vibrant as they've been?
Well, I mean, it is part of the Forestgate Chacamaxon work, but I am interested in and love your thoughts on this. Getting a tour event, whether it's the ladies tour, the LPGA tour, or the champions tour, the senior tour, getting an event at Fours Gate Country Club. I really think it is such an ideal venue for an event like that. The location is great. We are immediately off exit 8A of the Turnpike. That's all you need to know to get there. And everybody knows the Turnpike. So many people outside of New Jersey only think of New Jersey in terms of Turnpike exit. But we're right there at 8A. We're in the center of the state. And the golf course, as you point out, the drama in the greens and the drama in the bunkers is something that television, I think, would do a great job picking up. You watch the Masters on TV, Jay, and it's fantastic to watch. But unless you go to Augusta, the drama of the greens and the topography, you know, the elevation changes, is somewhat lost on TV. But when you have enough of those drama in the greens and the bunkers, that it'll be picked up by television, I think that would actually be a positive. And I think the fact that Fours Gate has that, I think it would be a great venue for either an LPGA tour event or a senior tour event.
Absolutely. It would also be a wonderful site to host a Walker Cup, a Solheim Cup. It is not only a great stroke play venue, but it makes for a phenomenal match play venue because there are half par holes everywhere you look. And Van Morissette nailed that when he wrote a wonderful article, everybody, at golfclubatlas.com about the course, breaking down all of the architecture and speaking of all that. So, and the other good thing about it is Fours Gate doesn't have to be long. With all of the dips and valleys in the fairways and the way that the land itself will limit drives, for example, on number 9 or some of the other upslopes of certain fairways, on number 13, for example, you know, you're not going to see a long bomber overpower this golf course. They never do.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely right, especially when you have the pin placement options that you have.
Well, Chris, before we let you go, we've got to ask you the trivia question. This is a chance where our advertisers, JP's Best Hot Sauce, get to try to give away a bottle of hot sauce and a T-shirt that says I'm a hottie. So are you ready to try the trivia question?
I'll give it my best shot.
Your category is baseball.
Okay.
On two different occasions, the Minnesota Twins have had a pitcher win 3 games in a World Series. Name the 2 Minnesota Twins pitchers that won 3 games in a World Series.
Oh, I'm afraid unless my son was able to whisper in my ear, I'd have no chance. I love the Yankees. But I don't know if I could mention, I could recall any Twins pitchers, much less the ones that were capable of doing that. So I can't even guess.
They were Frank Strings Viola and Jack Morris.
Wow.
In 1987 and 1991, respectively. Well, all right. The questions are tough sometimes. But
yeah, I'm a for me anyway.
Can you, before we let you go, tell everybody where they can learn more about Fours Gate, how they can get to the club website, and what they might have to do to be able to look into membership?
Well, thanks for that opportunity. It's ForsGateCC.com. is the website, ShackleMaxonCC.com for ShackleMaxon, similar. And Leslie Conover, the membership director at Fours Gate, or Amanda Maloney at ShackleMaxon, would obviously love to speak with you and tell you about the opportunities for membership at the clubs. And whether you want to be a member or have an event there, we'd certainly love to have you talk to us. And you know, we're working every year to make the club a little better each year. And by the way, we never even mentioned the fact that Fours Gate's 36 holes. So even though you and I are both very partial to the Banks course, we actually have two courses at at Forest Gate. If you need a little break from those deep bunkers every so often, you can go play the Palmer Course.
Sure. The Palmer Course admirably serves its purpose. It gets a lot of rounds as well, and it's always in pristine condition.
You're nice to say, and Jay, as always, thanks for giving me the opportunity to be on your program, and it's always great to talk to you.
Everybody, we'll be back with the next segment of the Jay's Place Show in just a bit. I'm Jay Flemmer. This is the Golf News Net Radio Network.
We're at the end of another great Jay's Place Show, but thank you all so much for joining in. It's no fun doing this to an empty room, but it sure is fun doing it for all of you guys, so thanks so much. I want to thank Fish for kindly letting me use their great music as the theme song for the show. Thanks, guys. I want to thank CyberGolf and Golf News Network, cybergolf.com/writerscorner. You can read me and all the other fine writers, and thegolfnewsnet.com/radio. Take us home, DJQ.
Tune in next time for another great Jay's Play Show on the Golf News Net Radio Network.
Thanks, guys. Catch y'all next time.